Good evening, church.
It is indeed a blessing to be here this evening. I am most grateful for the wonderful young men that have willingly chosen to help us serve in the worship this evening. I appreciate the elders, of course, for the opportunity for the college guys to be able to speak at a series like this. And I appreciate Ray Baker asking me to partake in this. And I actually don't come here very often, so I am extremely nervous. And if you can't tell, I am shaking. And I think this is probably the largest group I've ever spoken to, so please bear with me. And also, I didn't really realize this until after I had chosen the topic, that it was like, hey, no pressure, but you have the last one of the semester, so, you know, you kind of need to close it all. So I was like, man, no pressure there. But hopefully this won't be a disaster. No. So in these past Wednesday nights, I've been attending the Wednesday night series to get a feel for what's been going on and what we're talking about. And the week before last week, when Daniel spoke, he did a marvelous job on worship. And he briefly mentioned how we worship God through serving others, which I was grateful for, because he ended up unintentionally alluding to my topic this evening, which is service. And as I've been thinking about this topic of serving and this series for the semester, it reminded me of a little story from... I didn't just look this up. It was an actual cartoon that I was watching one time. And I was thinking about what it really means to serve. And in this cartoon, just to keep it general, there's the main character is a young man. And the world is full of, you know, random creatures and animal-like characters. It's very, you know, fictional. And he happens upon this wonderful talent. It's temporary, though. He didn't realize it at first, but he has this wonderful talent. And he goes out into the community, and he discovers how helpful this talent is. He's helping people. He's, you know, saving. His random things are happening, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, man, you saved my baby, and you totally just saved this, you know, car. You stopped this car crash from happening. Just saving lives. Things are great. And he's like, man, I am really helpful. And he's thinking to himself, this is a wonderful gift. I love helping people. I am being really helpful. But then he realizes that the gift is temporary. So all of a sudden, he loses this wonderful talent. And it was kind of like a superpower, and he's helping people. And then he loses it. And he's like, oh, man, he's freaking out. He's like, man, I don't have this anymore. Man, I got to get it back. I got to somehow go get it back. You know, so he tries to go get it back. But the whole time when he's trying to go get it back, he's thinking, man, I want to be helpful. I want to do this. I want to help the world. I want this. I want that. I want. So he goes back to get it again. And he does end up getting it back again from where he originally got it. It was like a magical source. And he gets it back. But then he goes out again and he tries to basically redo everything that he was doing. And it wasn't working. He actually was ruining things as opposed to helping in the same way that he was helping before. It didn't really make much sense at first, because it was like he did all the same things. He did the same thing he did last time. He did the right thing, but it wasn't working. He was actually making matters worse. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about what happened was that this young man began to serve others selfishly, and thus ruined the whole purpose of why he was serving. What he didn't realize until the end of the episode of the cartoon of this show was that service is a selfless act, not selfish, selfless. It's not all about you. It's not about what you want. It's always about the ones that you are serving. This attitude and understanding is essential in order to truly serve others in the manner that Christ did. For example, if we look into the scriptures, in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me and have them ready. I have plenty of scriptures for us this evening. Mark chapter 9, verse 35, which reads, I'm reading out of the New King James. Mark 9:35 reads, "And he sat down and called the 12," and this is Jesus, "and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Those who desire to be first will be last, and vice versa. Those who desire to be last will be first. We must be humble when serving others, not being like the young man who was thinking, I want this, I want to do this, it's about me, it's not about what you want. Even though what you want isn't bad, it's not bad that you want to help people, but that's not the focus. The focus is on the people that you're serving, not about what you want. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 48. Well, let's back up. We'll start in verse 46. Luke 9:46. This kind of reiterates the Mark passage. And it reads, "Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him, and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great." Philippians chapter 2. And this is a passage that I've used before that I oftentimes meditate on because there's a lot to learn from this passage. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." To put others' interests first, to put others' needs first, to always be thinking about what others need above what you need, putting their interests above your own, to truly serve and focus on who you're serving. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17. And it reads, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Here Paul is talking about people who are being selfish, who are doing what they want in the church, and they're causing divisions. And they are serving themselves instead of the Lord. He says here, he tells them in verse 18, they do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They're serving themselves. The Greek word used, there are two different Greek words that are used in several of these scriptures for the word serve. One of the words is, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but latreo, something like that. And it means a hired servant. The word is used in several of the scriptures that I'll be using tonight, as well as the second word will be in them as well. It's used back and forth. And another word, the second word, and this one's even worse. I'm probably going to kill this one. Is duoleuo, I think. Don't quote me on that. Which means slave, or to work as a slave. Both of these words show how we are meant to serve the Lord as though we are slaves to righteousness. And you can find that in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, talking about being slaves to righteousness. But we are still a chosen people at the same time. We serve the Lord as slaves to righteousness, but we are still a chosen people as well. We are hired to work for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So, to truly serve anyone is to be truly selfless, to humble yourself, to put their interests before yours. But who exactly do we serve? Well, first and foremost, we serve God. We must serve the Lord. There are so many scriptures that we can refer to, especially in the Old Testament, about how we need to serve and worship the Lord. But just picking out two this evening, if you would, Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Romans 1 and verse 9, it reads, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit." We serve God in our spirit, like how we worship him in spirit and in truth, as Daniel talked about a couple weeks ago beautifully. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Probably heard this one multiple times before. Matthew 6:24 reads, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We are to serve God and not things of this world. We must choose between the two. Who are you to serve this day? The Lord or the things of this earth? In order to properly serve the Lord, we must serve others as well. And she's probably going to kill me for this, for using her as an example, because I do this every time I preach, but I'm going to do it anyways. I will be marrying my beautiful fiance, Rebecca, in 1 month from today. And that is coming up really quick. And I'm just like, whoa, man, getting closer. First, it was the beginning of the semester, and now it's almost the end of the semester, and it's coming up really quick. And she and I both have learned from multiple married adults, from the marriage and the family class here at Free, and even from premarital counseling, that a relationship, when in a relationship, it is not about you. It's about the other person. If you focus on serving the other person, it is a motivating factor for them to serve you in return. You serve them, and they're like, wow, my needs are being fulfilled. And you're not perfect. You know, I oftentimes make many mistakes of what I think she needs, and I'm usually wrong. And she has the right mind to correct me. And I'm like, I'm glad you did, because I didn't want to keep making a mess like that. But you learn what they need. You seek to serve their needs first before your own. And it is a motivating factor. It feels good. And you're like, you know what? They're making me feel good. I want to make them feel good in return. So therefore, they seek to serve your needs in return. It may not always happen that way. Sometimes there may not be focused on that, but that's okay. As long as you're seeking to serve them and they see that, it'll be motivating for them to serve you in return. It's not about serving yourself. What would you accomplish if you were to just be selfish and just seek to serve yourself and meet your own needs and not focus on the other person? What kind of a relationship would that be? Not a stable one. Not a good one. It's not about you. It's about the other person. Serving others is essential to serving God. And that is made so clear in his word. In Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 13. And it reads, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We must serve each other with love, just as Jesus did. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, chapter over. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Do good to everybody. He says all, not just some, not just your friends, not just your family, not just the church. To all, do good. And then he says, especially your Christian brothers and sisters. Not just them, but especially them. And then Matthew chapter 25, as Keith so beautifully read for us. I really do appreciate that. This is a passage that I've recently been studying, and if you've ever heard me speak before or preach before, or even just talk in conversation, a lot of times the things that I study, even though this was a topic that I chose, because the topics that I like to study and preach on are ones that I know I need to work on. I know I need to improve. I know that I am not good enough in this aspect, and I need to be better as a Christian in doing this thing. So this is a passage that I've been looking at recently and meditating on and really applying to myself, saying, am I doing this the way that I should be? I just think about here, where Jesus, and Keith read it for us, and I don't want to go ahead and just repeat the whole thing. But in verse 40, he says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then in verse 45, he says to the ghosts, the ones who did not do these things, who did not serve, who did not give food, who did not clothe, who did not visit in prison. He says, then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Here is where it all comes together. If you do it to others, you're doing it to Christ. And the same goes if you don't do it. Jesus is practically telling them, if you serve others, if you're serving your neighbor, if you're serving those around you, you are serving me. Serving others is serving Christ. Jesus told the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. He said, well, the text says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? So Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in my Bible, I don't know if you mark your Bible, but my Bible, I underlined that last one. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth, so what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You cannot serve two, either God or mammon. You must choose. He told him, Jesus told the rich young ruler to go sell what he had, but not just that, to give it to the poor from what he had sold. And then he said, therefore, in doing that, you will lay up treasure in heaven. And even after saying all that, saying, if you go and you just, that's all you have to do. All you have to do is sell what you have and give it to the poor. Take what you're interested in, take the things that you need and that you have and the abundance, and just share it with those who do not have this. Serve them to fulfill their needs that are lacking that you already have. And then you will have treasure in heaven, and you can follow me. And he went away sorrowful, because this is not what he wanted to do. This is not what he wanted to do. He went away selfishly, because he had such wealth, and he would rather have kept it than be selfless in serving others, as Jesus told him to. You would think that if Jesus was to tell you, hey, you can follow me and you can have treasure in heaven just by doing this, you think you'd say, okay, you know, and then go do it. But no, I would venture to say, don't we tend to do the same thing? Don't we tend to hesitate sometimes? I know I personally do. when it comes to serving others? Because sometimes we're more concerned about our own loss rather than someone else's gain. What am I? What is the cost of this? What am I going to lose? What's in it for me? Am I going to gain something? Am I going to lose something? That's not what it's about. It's about what the other person is gaining and what they're receiving. That is service. So how do we serve like Christ did? How do we learn to serve in this selfless manner? And just to warn you, having discussed it so much already, some of this may be a little bit repetitive. But first, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now I realize that this passage is addressing how we are free from the old law and we are under the new law. And it says, but when it points out here, this is what stuck out to me. Even though in the context it's not directly talking about serving necessarily. In the verse he still says, we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. And right away I connected that with chapter 6 and verse 4 of Romans, where it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Paul says that we walk in the newness of life when we obey the gospel. He says that when we serve in the newness of the Spirit, he says that we are to serve as a part of being new in Christ, being a Christian. And finally, as I close this evening, how do we truly serve others like Christ? Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. And also I will be marking John 15:13 as a quick reference as well. But Matthew chapter 20. Beginning in verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus came to this earth in the flesh to serve us and give us his life, to wash the feet of his followers, a lowly deed, and they were following him, to be torn to shreds, to be pierced, to bleed and die for us. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Laying down your life is the greatest love that there is. And this is what Jesus came to the earth to do for us. He came, he served, he was a servant, and he died, giving us the greatest service of all by meeting our need for salvation. So, don't be great. Be a servant, because that is so much greater. In this country that we live in, also with the mindset that I'm about to get married soon, which I'm still trying to swallow, it's a big deal that I need to be able to provide my wife. And I oftentimes think about my future career after school and what I would like to achieve with that. But then I also think about how this country tends to define success, define being great. You're great when you have lots of money. You're successful when you have a high position in your business, when you are receiving lots of business and things are running smoothly. But I oftentimes question, and I'm careful when I say, I'm successful, because how am I with God? That's where the success comes from. That's where your greatness is defined. Being a servant. Lord, make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Lord, make me like you. If you need the prayers of the congregation this evening, or if you need to be baptized and walk in the newness of life tonight, won't you please come as we stand and sing?
Thank you.